Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the weekly Love and Relationship Success Show. My name is Priya and I'm the producer of the show and your host. Welcome, welcome. Thank you for joining me. This show is all about having more love in your life and more fulfilling relationships by cultivating compassion and empathy in the way that you communicate. I'm going to be sharing the principles and tools that will help you to do this over the course of the season of the show. And what I'll be sharing is based on the work of world-renowned psychologist Marshall Rosenberg. He called his approach to human relations nonviolent communication, NVC, which is what it's commonly referred to as. He also called NVC the language of compassion. And this approach is practiced worldwide by millions of people who want to have more loving, caring, and supportive relationships with all the people around them and who want to bring more love into the world in general. Now, I've been practicing and sharing this approach since the late 1990s, and I've benefited in so many ways, too many for me to describe really in this talk. But my life has changed so profoundly for the better that I am passionate about spreading the word about this approach and also helping you to experience the positive benefits that it can bring to your life. All right, so if you missed my previous talks, you can listen to them on the podcast page of my website, which is www.womeninfullbloom.com. That's www.womeninfullbloom.com. Or you can find them here on the Blog Talk Radio archives of my show. And I'm also the producer and host of Women Making Sense of Sex and Everything Else 60, which airs on Communication is all about creating great relationships, relationships that are supportive, connecting, nurturing, creative, empowering, loving, healing, life-serving, and fun to be in. Who doesn't want that? I think everybody does, really. I'm going to give a brief recap of what I talked about so far for the sake of building some continuity of understanding for you. So in my previous talks, I've spoken about how compassionate communication is the key to freedom from judgment, blame, and unrealistic demands that we place on ourselves and on others. Compassionate communication also helps us humans to live and love fully by helping us to discern what is happening in the present moment from our projections on the present moment of our future tripping or of our holding on to the past. And in helping us with this discernment, compassionate communication brings us more into the present moment of our lives and gives us the skills to become more in touch with ourselves and responsive to others and the circumstances of our life. Does that sound good to you? It sounds really good to me. Now, some of you might already be aware of this, but judging, blaming, demanding, and projecting preconceived notions and opinions that you have are ways that we all discount others and ourselves, subtly sometimes and not so subtly other times. And that discounting creates great suffering of all kinds. Communicating with compassion is the key that dissolves this suffering because it turns judgment, blame, and projection into compassion, empathy, love, and understanding. And who doesn't want that? I think everyone's yearning for more compassion, love, empathy, and understanding. It's really important Before diving into the tools of compassionate communication, those tools that show us all how to speak and listen more effectively and with more love and compassion, it's really important to delve into and consider the deeper foundational principles. And that's because this approach is really based on an inner mind-heart paradigm shift, a paradigm shift from the one of power over, which is me versus you, us versus them, dog eat dog, scarcity, competition, comparison, you know, winners and losers, the power over paradigm. We're shifting from that to one that is based on co-creation, compassion, empathy, shared power, mutual empowerment, and mutually beneficial co-creative solution-oriented relationships. So without understanding this paradigm shift and stepping into the mind-heart set of it from the inside out, the tools that I'm going to be sharing with you and in your future are not really effective. And they become a kind of a mind game add-on to the old paradigm of power over. So yes, I'm going to reveal here that compassionate communication is about your evolution as a human. It's really not just something that you can add on to your bag of tricks. And that is why I'm spending some extra time on these fundamental principles. And having more love in your life and having great relationships, having successful, fulfilling relationships is transformative. It requires transformation and it creates transformation. I'd like to go back for a moment to this concept that I just mentioned of mutually beneficial, co-creative, solutions-oriented relationships. It's a mouthful, and I want to explain what I mean. These are relationships in which everyone's needs are considered, and solutions to problems and issues are created that are responsive to the needs of all people in the relationship. That is very different from the way most of us have been raised. The common way that we're in relationship and the common thinking about our relationships is that we have to be willing to sacrifice for love. That relationships are full of sacrifice. They're full of compromise and obligation. And usually with that, someone doesn't get what they actually want. Someone is sacrificing what they need or what they prefer. And the people involved often have to do things that they really don't want to do just for the sake of maintaining the relationship. Now, that doesn't sound like fun to me. And I have a hunch that it doesn't sound like a lot of fun to you. And you know what I'm talking about. Because compassionate communication is based on an, quote-unquote, us working together for the benefit of both of us paradigm, right? A mutually beneficial, co-creative paradigm, some rewiring of the common ways, the common colloquial ways, the common colloquial mind-heart set ways is really necessary. And the kind of rewiring that I'm referring to really requires conceptual understanding, a willingness to experiment, experiential embodiment of the paradigm. These talks are mostly tilling the soil of the conceptual understanding with a little bit of embodiment practices. So here we go. In my previous talks, I discussed compassion and empathy. And today, I'm going to talk about presence, what it is, how it fits in, why it's so important to your inner well-being and for creating successful, meaningful, and fulfilling relationships with yourself and with others. So what is presence? From my perspective, presence is how you are non-verbally in your body and the energy that you express through your body. It's your vibe, to use an old-fashioned word. Even though we humans give a lot of weight to the words that we use, the energy of our presence, the energy that we project through our presence, actually transmits as much information to another person as our words do. All living beings communicate through this felt sense of energy and through their presence. This felt sense of energy of the presence of everything around us is part of our natural biofeedback mechanism. And it's an essential part of how we perceive the goings-on around us. For some of you, this concept of presence might sound pretty simplistic, but it's really important to go over it. Because in reality, it's not something that most of us have awareness of or even think of, or think that we're even in charge of. Most of us take our presence for granted. We think that our energy is at the affect of other people or at the affect of our emotions or the circumstances, excuse me, and we also don't realize how it impacts others. We don't realize how it actually filters our perception. Actually a choice with how we are in our presence and what kind of energy we bring to our presence. We're the creator of it. And by bringing awareness to this, we increase our options as to how we are being in life, in relationship to life. And as I discussed last week, the how we are being is what creates the quality of our experience. And that is what you actually have control over. You don't necessarily have control over what goes on outside of you, but you do have control over how you are with it and within it. Presence is a big part of that. So there are two aspects of presence. The personal atmosphere that surrounds you at all times and that others feel is one aspect of presence. Your vibe. Right? The other aspect of presence is that of being present in the moment. They're interrelated, and that's why I'm bringing them up in this same talk. Let's take a deeper look first at the energy that surrounds you, your vibe, and that you bring to the table of life's experience and to the table of your relationships. The word vibe really describes it almost perfectly, although it is often more or less the same, this vibe, this presence, this energy, it's more or less the same all the time like your personality is. But it's not necessarily fixed because you're changing all the time and it changes. This presence, this energy, this vibe, it changes according to what's going on within you in response to each moment. And it also changes over the course of your lifetime. It has many layers to it. It has the layer of your general personality. It also has the layer of your changing moods and your physiology. It has the flavor and the layer of your psychological and spiritual attitudes and belief systems as well. And these all change from moment to moment and over the course of your lifetime to greater or lesser degrees. It is in some ways like your physical form. You know, it's sort of constant, but changes over time and can look different from moment to moment depending on what kind of a hair day you're having, so to speak. I think you know what I mean. Your presence is another aspect of this embodiment. Because it's about your energy, it is actually what gives your physicality its depth of aliveness. The personal energy that surrounds you not only transmits information to other people, it filters information coming into you as well. It colors what you perceive. Here's an example. Have you ever noticed how some folks describe or interpret the same exact situation completely differently? That is because the personal energy is just a compilation of all the thoughts and feelings, and it's the nonverbal expression of that. And your thoughts and your feelings are a filter. And so the nonverbal expression of your thoughts and your feelings are a filter, filter of what you're perceiving. So sometimes we get fixated in our beliefs, huh, about who we think we are or how life is. So our personal energy also gets fixated because it's an extension of what we think and feel. Many of us walk around with the same kind of energy all the time, no matter what's going on. It's a kind of default set based on who we think we are, who we think we should be. Think of that someone, for example, who no matter what is going on is always cheery, or that other person who might always be somber. No matter what's going on inside of them or around them, they're always somber. Those are default settings. And I want to just say here that these examples are pretty simplistic, but the issue of our presence and our energy is not really simplistic. It's multifaceted and multi-layered. But I'm just giving these simple examples to make it a bit more real. So think about for yourself what your own default setting is. If somebody were to be talking about you, what would they say your default setting is? Sometimes it's easier to think about yourself that way. All right, so however fixed we humans get in our energy fields, in our presence, this energy is actually changeable because we are changing. We're constantly changing. So here's a little scenario that's an example of how we change. Imagine a young woman. She is in her house. She's getting ready for a date, and she answers the doorbell. And it's a flower delivery sent from her new boyfriend, who she really, really likes. She's delighted. She's ecstatic. And her energy starts to radiate because of this delight. And at that moment, her roommate comes down the stairs and says, "Wow, you're all lit up. What happened?" She begins to share her delight. A call comes in on her phone from her boyfriend who says that dinner is off because of an emergency at work. What happens? Her energy immediately dims. The light of her energy dims, and the quality of her energy sags. And the roommate also notices this and immediately says, "Uh-oh, bad news, huh?" This is a kind of familiar scenario, and it's a good example of what I'm talking about. In this case, the young woman's presence, the energy of her presence, changed because of an emotional response that she had. And since for many of us, emotions are very powerful, they can really rule the shifts in our energy and in our presence. You know, even though emotions and thoughts are strong elements in our lives, and we often think that our presence and energy, so we're at the affect of them, sorry about that, energy itself can be shifted and changed. And once we get more skilled at becoming in charge of our energy, we can actually work with our presence in relationship to our emotions and thoughts, and use it as another aspect of our communication instead of it using us, right? Instead of being unconscious about how our presence is. So why is this so important? For a few reasons. One is that we can really, all can really read each other. Right? Nonverbal communication is about 90% of communication. We can all read each other's energy. And when our words don't match what we're feeling, and we become discordant in our relationships because this mismatch creates double messages, it creates confusion. Authentic verbal expression actually also arises from one's presence. And when we're not in touch with our presence, with the energy of it, and go to the default setting, which is usually the fixed version of what we are used to thinking about ourselves, our words can be felt by others as canned, inauthentic, flat. and disconnecting. And when we also can't feel ourselves, when we're not in touch with our fluid presence, when we go to the default of who we think we should be or who we think we are, this, we can't feel what we're saying. We lose touch with the words that we're speaking. And this leads to a sense of disconnection within ourselves and with other people. When your presence is permeable and mutable, which means fluid and flexible and changing, you can feel yourself more fully and you can respond with that fullness. It is more connecting to others and it is more connecting to all of life in general. So being aware of your energetic presence helps you to be more deeply in touch with your emotions, those your feelings, and the thoughts and desires that are connected to them. This really creates a rich self-connection that supports more authentic expression and more fulfilling relationships. The other really important aspect of presence is that it is the doorway to being in the present moment. Being in the present moment, or being present to the moment that is arising, is a state of being, a consciousness, that might include many awarenesses of the past, or awarenesses of what might be happening in the future, or awareness of concerns about the outcome of interactions or circumstance, but it is not ruled by these. It is a larger state of consciousness than the small what-ifs, should-haves, and such of the mind. It's an openness to what is yet to be revealed. It's curiosity about what is happening in the here and now. And it's an openness to what is occurring as an unfolding of a larger truth. Versus what usually happens, which is a manipulation to get a projected outcome or desired outcome. When we are stuck in our manipulations to get our desired outcomes, we are no longer in the present moment. So we humans are often stuck in our stories about what happened then, or what's going to happen when, or how we can manipulate the circumstances to make what we think we want happen, happen. And we're rarely just in the moment, allowing, being with, curious, in a state of wonder, openness, willing to not know what is going to happen, and also willing to be in the potential awkwardness of it all. You know those awkward silences that are often intolerable to many of us? Where instead of waiting and just being with what's happening in the moment, you rush to your default setting pretty quickly to fill in the gap. This rushing in to fill in the gap creates a lack of responsiveness to what's really happening in the moment. And it's actually a lack of flexibility to being responsive to the flow of life. So being present to the moment is about stepping into this gap, being in one's presence fully, and being with the greater whole of all that is. Being with the greater whole of all that is in the moment. So here are some really simple, familiar examples. Everybody has an Uncle Harry or an Uncle Joe or an Uncle Sam who comes to Thanksgiving every year, and everyone dreads it because he monologues and tells story after story without noticing that everyone at the table is glazed over or half dead. Right? Uncle Harry is stuck in his stories. He's stuck in his default and is not present to the moment of being together with others. And he is out of contact. Or you might have an auntie that no matter what you say to her, she says, "That's nice, dearie," with a smile on her face that never changes. And here's one more example. You meet somebody you know, and they say to you, "How are you?" And you say to them, "Well, geez, you know, to tell you the truth, I just lost my job, and I'm really freaked out right now." And without missing a breath or a beat, the other person who just asked you how you are launches into a long story about how they handled the same situation in their life, and blah, 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 blah. They go on and on and on. And whatever they say has absolutely nothing to do with how you're feeling in the moment or your connection. The present moment is so precious. The present moment is like the silence in between drum beats. It is the breath. Have you ever found yourself listening to rhythmic drumming and not be able to stop yourself from dancing? That's really compelling. And what makes rhythmic drumming so compelling? It's the silent space between the beats. This space is the pregnant pause of possibility between the actions. And this pregnant pause of possibility fuels the power of the beat. This is what being present in the moment is. It's the pregnant pause of possibility. When you allow yourself to be present in the moment, you give the as yet unknown a chance to emerge, to feel what is going on inside yourself, between you and another person. Or simply, you allow for the precious experience of being present without words or actions, of simply being with the moment of life. When you tune into the greater whole of the present, which is greater than the sum of its parts, which are the thoughts, feelings, sensations inside of you, when you tune into the greater whole, there are abilities, vaster perspectives, more peace and ease, and relief from any one of these parts of you that often seem to take over, squeezing us into the small box of themselves, like our thoughts that like to squeeze us in, pretending that they're all that is, or our feelings, which do the same thing. Whenever you get up from working on something that you've been very focused on and you stand up to stretch and take a deep breath, perhaps you even close your eyes and feel yourself, this is a natural moment when you are just simply naturally reaching into the present moment of your presence for rejuvenation and reconnection to your greater whole self. Yawning does this too. Stretching and yawning are the body's natural mechanisms for becoming more present in the moment. Brings me around to what you can do to experience your presence and the present moment more fully. Things like standing up or lying down or shifting your bodily position or moving around. Closing your eyes, taking a few deep breaths, and bringing your attention in to your center can help you to be more present in each moment, especially if you let it relax you. And you're willing to relax your mind and drop into your body. And then when you open your eyes and look out from this new relaxed, more embodied place, you will experience a different sense of presence. Let's try it. took a little sip of water. Excuse me. Okay, so first take an initial read on yourself. How are you feeling right now? Can you feel your body? Can you feel your sense of presence wherever you are in the room or standing or whatever's going on? And what does your sense of your presence feel like to you? Do you feel hard or soft, or do you feel dim or bright and shiny? Do you feel agitated, or do you feel calm and smooth? Do you feel heavy? Do you feel light? How does your and your energy that's inside of it feel right now? Just notice, without judging, without trying to change anything. Simply notice, take a reading for yourself. Okay, now we're going to do a little meditation. Come more deeply present and feel the present moment. And afterwards, we'll take another check. So let's begin. If you can change your position, do that now. Allow your body to move to whatever position it wants to move to, or allow your body to just move however it wants to move. And close your eyes. Turn your attention inward. Take a deep breath, filling yourself up all the way. And let it out with a sigh all the way. And again, take a deep breath, filling yourself up like a balloon. All the way, full. When you get to the fullest possible place, let it out with a sigh all the way, letting yourself soften. Taking a deep breath, filling yourself up like a balloon. And letting it out with a sigh, all the way. And continue. Inhaling. Fully, and exhaling all the way out. And again, inhaling, and exhaling. Relax your mind. Focus your awareness on the sensation of breathing in your torso. Breathing in fully and exhaling fully. Rest deep inside yourself. Relaxing your mind and breathing in fully and exhaling all the way, resting deep inside yourself. Notice the inside space of your body. Allowing thoughts to flow through you. Gently bringing your awareness back to the sensation of breathing, to the resting deep inside of yourself, and the inside space of your body. Take a deep breath in and out. Settle. Feel yourself deep inside. Simply be with breathing. Be with the inside space of your body, inside yourself. Very slowly begin to open your eyes, very slowly. And while you do this, stay settled inside of yourself. As you open your eyes very slowly, looking out from inside yourself, look out from this relaxed and settled place deep inside yourself. Slowly opening your eyes, continuing to notice of your being, your presence, your breathing, the space inside of your body. And now look around yourself and notice about you now. How are you now? This is a wonderful and easy way to become aware of your presence and to become more present to the moment of life as it's happening. This is an easy thing to do if you feel like you're getting stuck in your default position, in your default presence. It's a wonderful thing to do if you are going head-to-head with someone, toe-to-toe with someone, if you're in a conflict, or if you're stuck in an issue and you can't get to a resolution. This is a wonderful thing to do. It helps you to gain greater perspective. It helps you to drop in to a more loving place within yourself. It helps you to remember sense of peace, ease, and being. That is actually your birthright. And that can help you to be more loving and compassionate and supportive to yourself and in your relationships with others. I'm going to bring our time together to a close now. I want to thank you again for joining me, and I hope that I planted a few seeds of inspiration and transformation in your world today. So until next time, much aloha, and I look forward to what the future unfolds. Bye for now.